Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our riveting journey through the series, The Invisible War. In it, we'll explore the unseen world of good and evil and see how it impacts our day-to-day existence. Join us for eye-opening biblical insights into the spiritual dimensions that influence our lives in ways we never imagined. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called Never Fight Your Battles Undressed.
Now, the second piece that a Roman centurion would put on is they would put on over the tunic some body armor, and they would have a breastplate which would cover the heart, and then the other part of the body armor would cover the rest of their vital organs, the lungs and the liver and the kidneys and all of those things. And so no soldier is going to go out into battle without body armor on, without the breastplate and the body armor. Now, the Bible, Paul says, what you need for your spiritual battle is what he calls the breastplate or the body armor of righteousness. And notice the next verse. He says, put on the belt of truth. And then he says, with the breastplate of righteousness, protecting your chest. What's in your chest? Your heart. He's talking about your heart here. Now, what is righteousness? Righteousness is purity of heart. That's what it is. And so the second piece you have to put on in your life is purity. First, integrity, knowing and doing the truth. And second, you have to put on purity, which means keeping my motives clear, keeping my motives clean, having a pure heart. That's what righteousness is. And he says, when you put on the breastplate or the body armor of righteousness, you're saying, God, I want a pure heart. I want to have pure motives. Let me show you a couple verses. The Bible says in Psalm chapter 24, look at this. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? What does that mean? Who can help? It means who can get close to God. That's what it means. Who can get close to God? And here's the answer. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Now, that doesn't mean perfection, because none of us are perfect. But a pure heart means that even when you do the right wrong thing, you want to do the right thing. That's a pure heart. Even when I do the wrong thing, I regret it because I want to do the right thing. That's a pure heart. And Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Only the pure in heart get to be close to God. Now, if you want to be blessed, you want to be blessed in your family, you want to be blessed in your business, and you want to be blessed in your finances, you got to have a pure heart. God will not bless an impure heart. And so you need to put on not just the belt of truth, integrity, but you need to put on the breastplate of righteousness, which is purity, keeping my motives clear. Now, is your heart pure? You don't have to have a lot of talent in life to succeed, but if you want God's blessing, you do have to have pure motives. Now, Satan always wants to attack you with impurity. And the reason he wants to attack you with impurity is if he can get his foot in the door, you're a goner. And so he'll attack you with moral impurity, pornography, movies, books, songs. I mean, if I said, get a drink of water, go out here and drink out of the gutter, none of you would go out and drink out of the gutter. So why are you watching all those gutter shows on television? You see, mind pollution is far worse than physical pollution, because your mind is all you've got. And when you allow anything to go in your mind, you are polluting it. You say, well, that's kind of stuff. I watch that stuff. It just doesn't bother me. That's the problem. If it doesn't bother me, it means your conscience has already been seared. You know, if your conscience was clear and pure, it would bother you. The fact that you can hear all that kind of language and it doesn't bother you means you don't have a pure heart. Now, if you don't have a pure heart, a brave heart, if you don't have a pure heart, you're a pushover for Satan. You don't have to be strong, but you do have to have integrity and purity. You have to have the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness. Now, another way Satan will try to get you to be impure is through greed. Because if he can get you greedy and wanting more, he'll get you to cheat on your taxes. He'll get you to accept a shady business deal, to shave the edges. He will try to get a door ajar in your life through success, through praise, through applause, so you don't depend on God anymore. You have to keep your heart pure. If you don't, you're going to lose the battle in life. But on the other hand, if you keep a pure heart, your motives pure, Satan fears the person with a pure heart. Not the perfect person, but the person with a pure heart who wants to do the right thing. And you don't have to be afraid of him. He then is afraid of you. Now, the third thing that a soldier would put on are the shoes. And a Roman soldier's shoes had hobnails, if you can see these, in the bottom. There were little nails that were nailed in there to make the grip better. It's kind of like cleats. Cleats on a football shoe or cleats on a golf shoe, because you needed these shoes with hobnails so you didn't go slip sliding away on the battle. You needed to be able to take a stand and hold your ground. You didn't want to stumble. You didn't want to slide. You didn't want to fall. No Roman centurion would go into a battle in Crocs. Okay? Because you're going to go slip sliding away. So you would put on these shoes. And Paul says this represents peace in your life. He calls them the shoes of the good news of peace. Look at this next verse. He says, on your feet, wear the shoes of good news. In other words, the good news shoes. Somebody should start that brand. Good news shoes prepared to share the gospel of peace. Now, as I said, a Roman soldier needed to have good footing so he could stand his ground, so he wouldn't slip. Now, for you to stand spiritually, so you don't slip, so you don't slide, so you don't stumble in the next 10 years and lose everything you've got, so you don't fall away, you're going to need the shoes of good news prepared to share the gospel of peace. Circle that phrase, the gospel of peace. Now, what is he saying? If you want to stand in life and stand up under the storms, you're going to have to be at peace. Now, he's talking here about relationships. There are three kinds of peace: peace with God, peace with myself, and peace with everybody else. It's called reconciliation. Peace with God, peace with myself, and peace with everybody else. Jesus called it the great commandment. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. Make peace with God, make peace with your neighbor, make peace with yourself. Be in harmony with God, be in harmony with your neighbor, be in harmony with yourself. He's saying, be reconciled to God, be reconciled to other people, and be reconciled to yourself. He said, if you got conflict in your life, you have just opened the door to satanic attack. He said, if you don't have peace in your heart, if your mind is not at peace and your heart is at peace, then you're going to be wide open. You're a pushover for Satan when you're not at peace, when you're not at peace. Now, where do I get this peace that gives me my solid ground? Obviously, if I get up in the morning and I'm at peace with God, I'm at peace with you, and I'm at peace with the world, I've got a strong footing. I can stand. If I don't have peace relationally in any of those relationships, I'm a pushover. How do I get that kind of peace? Look at you might write this down. The third thing you need is serenity. Serenity. Serenity is living and speaking the gospel of peace. If I'm going to get dressed for battle, I need integrity, living and doing the truth. I'm going to need purity, and that is having my motives clear. And I'm going to need serenity, living in peace and speaking peace to other people. I live it and I speak it. Now, where do I get that kind of peace? If you don't have serenity in your life, you're a pushover for Satan. If you're anxious, you're worried, you're irritable, then you're a pushover for Satan. So you need the gospel of peace in your life. How do I get it? The Bible says this in Psalms. It says in Psalm 119, great peace have they who love your law. And what is the law of God? It's the Bible. Great peace to those who love this book, and nothing can make them stumble. And I love other translations of it says, great peace have they who love your law and nothing can offend them. In other words, the more I love this book, the less I'm offended by what you say. The more I love God's word, the less I'm offended by what happens to me. I'm not offended by all the things that people try to be offensive to me. Why? Because I love God's word more than I love myself or more than I'm worried about what you think of me. Now, follow me on this. Satan is going to attack your integrity with lies. And Satan is going to attack your purity with lust. But Satan is going to attack your serenity with worry. Every time you worry, you are open. It's like leaving yourself vulnerable. It's not wearing the shoes of peace. When you're worried, you're not at peace. And Satan can just push you over because you're anxious, you're fearful, you're worried. And so he's going to cause that lack of relational peace is going to cause you to be anxious. Now, the Bible tells us that we're to do two things with peace. We are to live it and we are to speak it. We are to live peacefully and we are to speak peacefully to everybody else. Look at these verses. Romans 12:18 says this, as much as it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live in peace with everyone. God says, I want you to be a peacemaker, not a troublemaker. I want you to build harmony, not conflict. I don't want you to be critical. I want you to be a peace builder and a bridge builder. And he says, as much as possible. I love that part. As far as it depends on you. Some people, have you learned it's impossible to live at peace with them? May have been your mother or your dad or somebody or your boss. And you go, no matter what I do, I just can't please her. No matter what I do, he is unpleasable. No matter what I say. You know what the Bible says? As far as it depends on you, you take care of your part. There's some people you just can't please. There's some people you just can't be at peace with. But he says, as far as it depends on you, you are to live in peace. That's reconciliation. And if you have unreconciled relationships, friend, you are wide open for satanic attack. Because you're not wearing the shoes of peace. You don't have peace in that area, in that unreconciled relationship. That's the one area Satan can put that spear into your side. The other thing he wants you to do, God says, is you need to speak it. You need to speak peace. Look at this verse. 2 Corinthians 5 says, God was in Christ making peace between the world and himself. That's why we call our outreach the peace plan. Because we're to go make peace between the world and Christ. In Christ, God did not hold the world guilty of its sin. That's good news. In Christ, God didn't hold the world guilty of its sin, and he gave us this message of peace. We share the message of peace through the peace plan. So we have been sent to speak for Christ. Now, notice it says sent. When you're sent somewhere, that means you either got to walk or run or do something. You got to move. Can you understand now why peace are shoes? Because shoes, you got to wear shoes to walk. If you're being sent somewhere, you need to wear shoes. And he says, if you're going to share the message of peace, you need to wear the shoes of peace because you're being sent to speak for Christ. It is as if God is calling to you through us, and we speak for Christ when we beg you to be at peace with God. Now, you can't do the peace plan without going. That's why the Bible says go into all the world. But the problem with a lot of people is this. They want to live in peace, but they don't want to speak peace. A lot of people are scared to death to talk to other people about Jesus, who is the Prince of Peace. And a lot of times you have friends and neighbors who need to hear the good news of peace, and you chicken out. You lose your nerve. You take the shoes of peace off. And because you take those shoes of peace off, you want to live in peace without speaking peace. The Bible says everybody around you, you need to tell them about the good news, that God's not mad at you. He's mad about you. And God wants you in his life, and God wants you in his family, and he died for you so you can have peace with God. What you need to do is to speak up and say what you believe. Now, Paul says the fourth thing you need in the spiritual battles, what he calls the shield of faith. Look at this verse 16. And at all times, circle all times, not just some of the time. He says, you don't go to the grocery store. He says, without this. At all times, you carry the shield of faith. For with it, you will be able to put out all the burning arrows by the evil one. Now he says, you need the shield of faith in order to protect yourself for the burning arrows that Satan's gonna throw at you. Now, what is the shield of faith? It is the fourth quality you need in life, and it is certainty. Certainty is the shield of faith. And the certainty is trusting the promises of God when everything is going wrong in my life. That's the shield of faith. The certainty of, I know what God has said, and he's going to help me through this, so I'm going to trust God when all these arrows are coming at me. I saw a bumper sticker many, many years ago, and it said, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. That's okay, but really, the bumper sticker should say, God said it, that settles it, whether I believe it or not. Because God's truth isn't based on whether you believe it or not. It's still true, even if you don't believe it. Because God cannot lie. God said it, that settled it, whether you believe it or not. What God said about sex is true, whether you believe it or not. What God said about life is true, whether you believe it or not. What God said about money is true, whether you believe it or not. And when you put your faith in the shield of faith, you have the certainty that God's promises are true, even when it appears that they are not happening in your life at that moment. Now, the Bible says all these burning arrows come at you. I love the King James version of this. It says the fiery darts. What are the fiery darts that come at you? Well, they're all mental. They're all mental. They are things that Satan puts in your mind. Let me give you what some of the fiery darts are. Doubt. You can write that one down. Doubt is a fiery dart. Did God really say? Can you really trust God? Isn't that just your interpretation? Well, maybe that's for another time. Did God really mean that when he said? And he creates doubt. That's a fiery dart. Discouragement is a fiery dart. And Satan goes, you're never going to get any better. Things are never going to change. It's only going to get worse. Why do you even try? That's a fiery dart. Discouragement, doubt, delay. Why is this taking so long? I wanted it to happen by now, but it hasn't happened. Delay is a fiery dart. Difficulty is a fiery dart. Why is this so hard? Why is it so hard to make my marriage work? Why is it so hard to get a job? Why? Difficulty. Depression is a fiery dart. I just feel like giving up. I feel like it's not worth it. I feel like it's I can't even put any effort into it. Delay, defeat, all of these things. When those things happen in your life, you need certainty. And when life is totally uncertain and it's thrown up in the air, you need certainty more than anything else. You need the shield of faith in your life. And the shield of your faith will help you handle those darts, like the dart of doubt. Now, what do you do with the dart of doubt? Here's what you do. You doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. Whenever you start believing your doubts and doubting your beliefs, Satan has just cracked the door open in your life, and you're open for satanic attack. And you need that certainty. And the reason why he says always carry the shield of faith is because he's always shooting at you. He wants to create doubt in your heart. Now, the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. So you have to have the shield of faith. You got to carry it with you. I'm going to trust God no matter what my feelings say. I'm going to trust God no matter what my eyes tell me. I'm going to trust God no matter what I'm hearing. I'm going to hold on to the shield of faith. That is certainty.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy you've chosen to study along with us today. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to share with you a note I got in the mail from Alyssa. She wrote, "Hi, Pastor Rick. I'm a 33-year-old living in Jamestown, North Dakota, and I'm married with 3 kids. I just want to thank you so much for your Daily Hope broadcast. I listen to them regularly, and I've learned so much. You know, I realized very quickly that I needed to have a notebook journal available to write down all the notes as I listened to you. I love the convenience that the podcasts have, and I turn them on as I'm getting ready in the morning while I'm cooking or I'm in the car traveling, and even when I'm working out, which is great. I've also been sharing them with several people. I often think of specific people that I want to share your podcast with after I've heard your message. I don't know if they've listened to them or not after I've shared them, but I do know that one of my friends has been regularly listening to you now. And I ran into her at the park when she was jogging, and when she stopped to say hi, I could hear your voice in her earbuds." That's great. "She's been struggling with a verbally abusive relationship for many years, and I know that your Daily Hope has helped her. Rick, God has really used you to reach so many people, and I thank you for being obedient to Him, and He is calling to you. I will continue to pray for you. Thank you for impacting my life, Alyssa." Well, Alyssa, thank you for sending this message. You know, we live to hear these stories, and I'm so glad to hear how God is using Daily Hope, not only in your life, but in the life of your friends, because you cared enough to pass it on. So thanks for sharing that podcast with others. I know you're being a blessing to them. And I want to say to the rest of you, have you shared the news of Daily Hope with anybody? Would you find one person today and recommend that they start listening to Daily Hope, either on the radio or on a podcast or getting the daily devotional through the email? We are here to help you fulfill your mission in sharing Christ with other people. So tell one person today about Daily Hope.
If you'd like to bless Pastor Rick by letting him know how much this broadcast has helped you, please send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our Daily Hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.